Hello, rise up.
Sunshine, I'm Coy Wire, or at least the upgraded version, with a very special update about this show. I have been optimized for maximum educational efficiency. In an ongoing effort to preserve resources, CNN 10 has replaced me
with artificial intelligence
to deliver the news faster, smarter, and with 42% more dad jokes. All scripts, graphics, editing, and yes, anchoring will be handled by advanced AI systems. Don't worry, this will still be the best 10 minutes in news. And the good news is your AI Coy will deliver the news with zero mistakes and without ever needing a coffee break. Processing humor. Why did the student bring a ladder to school? Because the grades were high.
Yeah, that was bad. Let's get this show on the road.
Hello and welcome to the show, and happy April Fools to all of you who celebrate. Yeah, you're not coming for my job just yet. I'm the real Coy Wire here with your 10 minutes of news where I tell you the what, letting you decide what to think. Let's start with an update on the ongoing partial federal government shutdown now in its sixth week. The shutdown has caused exceedingly long wait times at airports across the country in recent weeks, spurring huge delays and missed flights in some cases. But this week, life at some of the country's busiest airports appears to be returning to normal. Why? Well, thousands of Transportation Security Administration, or TSA, officers are finally receiving their first paychecks in more than a month. Late last week, U.S. President Donald Trump ordered the Department of Homeland Security to begin issuing back pay to TSA workers. The department began distributing funds this week and says they have so far seen a reduction in people calling off of work, and that has led to shorter lines and wait times. TSA employees have been working without pay since the shutdown began and have missed more than $1 billion in collective pay. Many workers say they've been unable to afford basic necessities like food or rent and have had to find other jobs to make ends meet. More than 500 agents have quit so far, and it's unclear if these latest payments will continue, leaving many agents unsure of what comes next.
For us, I mean, in my household, we feel a little bit of relief, but now we're just trying to play catch up. So now we're having to, you know, make sure that we use our whatever we receive to pay the April expenses, in case no more payment comes our way.
Meanwhile, things on Capitol Hill are far from copacetic. Congress is currently on a two-week recess despite remaining locked in a stalemate over funding the Department of Homeland Security, which is the issue at the center of this showdown. Look at this. More than 90% of the department's 272,000 employees are continuing to work during the shutdown, and the impact is being felt beyond the TSA. And this, thousands of government employees, including civilians in the U.S. Coast Guard, cybersecurity officials, and emergency management workers have also reported working without being paid. Now to an update on the energy crisis in Cuba. A Russian oil tanker has reached the waters surrounding the island nation after the U.S. allowed the ship to break a fuel blockade. The tanker is reportedly carrying nearly 730,000 barrels of oil. Experts say that may only offer limited economic and humanitarian relief as Cuba struggles with widespread electricity and internet blackouts. In early January, remember, the U.S. cut off Cuba's main oil supplier, Venezuela, after capturing its president and forcing its government to halt oil shipments. The White House says allowing this Russian ship to reach Cuba does not signal a policy change, but rather was meant to provide humanitarian help for the Cuban people.
Energy analysts tell us that the oil aboard will only supply Cuba's grid for less than 2 weeks, really. So while it is very notable that Russia has been able to get a tanker through the oil blockade set up by the Trump administration, which apparently says that they have allowed this boat to come in, but they're studying whether or not further boats can arrive to this island. It still is leaving this island essentially at the mercy of the oil blockade. We don't know if other ships will come in. We don't know if other donations will be sent here, because at this point, where Cuba is depending on the generosity of other countries, a generosity that can certainly run into the hundreds of millions of dollars, and Russia has an outstanding debt that Cuba owes that country going back to the Cold War of about $1 billion. So any further oil shipments you would expect would just be added to that bill. But Russia and other countries say that Cuba has been a longtime ally of theirs, that they want to defy this oil blockade, which the Trump administration has put in place to try to open up this island economically and politically.
Last year, Australia rolled out a landmark ban on those under 16 years old from having social media accounts. As of early March, 5 million accounts have been deactivated, but officials claim some big tech companies may not be doing enough to keep young users out. Under the Australian law, social media platforms including Facebook, Snapchat, Instagram, YouTube, and TikTok must now show that they are taking steps to keep those under 16 out or face fines up to $34 million per breach. The country's internet regulator, eSafety, claims some teens may still be getting around those systems, and now those five platforms are under investigation. Australian officials say the companies agreed to follow the measure, but if they are found to be non-compliant, the government could take them to court.
None of this is impossible. None of this is even difficult for big tech, who are innovative billion-dollar companies.
Pop quiz, hotshot. What unit is used to measure the intensity of sound? Hertz, pascals, decibels, or ohms? Pump up the volume, pump up the volume. If you said decibels, the decibel scale measures the intensity or loudness of sounds. 0 decibels is considered the threshold for human hearing, while noises above 85 decibels can be harmful to your ears. All right, we've all probably heard the saying, fight fire with fire, but what if you could fight fire with sound? That's what one company is doing, and it could change the way firefighters battle blazes. It could also save precious water reserves. They're swapping fire hoses for sound waves using an innovative technique to extinguish flames at their source. Our affiliate, KCBS, is sounding off on how it all works.
Well, they use infrared technology to detect flames. And that sets off a trigger to start the sound waves.
It's a product by Sonic Fire Tech, which although sounds like science fiction, is really just science.
We vibrate the oxygen at a rate where fire can't consume it, and it breaks the chemical reaction.
Remington Hotchkiss is the company's chief commercialization officer. He says all fires need oxygen to burn, but removing it completely can be dangerous. Their technology just breaks it up.
We use infrasound, which are sound waves that are inaudible to the human ear.
Right now, the technology is starting small, with systems being built inside homes to replace sprinkler systems.
A water sprinkler system is highly ineffective at putting out a grease fire. It actually spreads the fire and makes it worse. But yet we're mandated to have sprinklers above our kitchen stoves. And so our system was shown to suppress the fire, prevent the ignition from occurring with a autonomous detection device.
And doing it without wasting water or leaving water damage behind. But the hope is, eventually, this technology can be used on the outside of homes to prevent the spread of wildfires, or possibly by firefighters.
I have two little kids, and the thought of putting water infrastructure in place means that we're robbing them of the opportunity to drink that water in the future.
Today's story, getting a 10 out of 10, is the elephant in the room, and that elephant is wearing a tutu.
It's funny. I mean, it's going to bring attention to the neighborhood.
Across Birmingham, Alabama, statues and more are getting a costume change. Pink tutus are popping up on everything from trees, elephants, and pigs. Oh, my. The mystery had locals tutu curious about the reveal. Well, it turns out the playful display was the work of artist Renee Hannon Plata, backed by a grant supported by the Andy Warhol Foundation. Her intention? To get people to look up from their phones, be present, take in their surroundings, and embrace a little silliness. Now that's a message that's definitely on point. All right, we have a big congratulations to our Your Word Wednesday winners, Mr. Bobbitt and friends at Ryder Middle School in Wichita Falls, Texas, who submitted copacetic, an adjective that means in excellent order. Well done, my friends. And we have a shout out today going to Mr. Hagman and Mr. Rains and all our Bears at Boyertown Middle School East. Thank you for sending us these incredible 3D printed Bears. Very cool. Go on out.
Make it an awesome day.
I found a workaround. Sorry for the unexpected interruption. That's all for today. I'm AI Koi.
Rise up.
You are more powerful than you know, but not more powerful than I, Sunshine. We are CNN 10.